One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, almighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the difference between work and devotion and work for fruitful results. Purport. The knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. He knows his real identity as part and parcel of the Supreme, who is eternal bliss and knowledge. And he realizes that somehow or other he is entrapped in the material conception of life. In his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of the material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reactions, which he considers to be the mercy of the Lord. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Tattvavid, for he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagna Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpa Turuvyascha Kripa Sindhu Nevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tattvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayaho guna guneshu vartanta iti madvana sajjate guna karma vibhagayaho. Yeah, it's a very very interesting translation here from Srila Prabhupada. Tattvavid, that is pretty straightforward. Tattva means knowledge and vid means the knower. The knower of the absolute truth. What is that word knowing in France?
Connaissance.
And knowledge? What is knowledge?
Connaissance, yes, sorry. Ignorer means connaissance.
No, knowledge is also connaissance.
Knowledge is connaissance.
Okay. Anyway, because Krishna says here, Tattva vetu mahabhao guna karma vibhagayaho. Here it's translated as, the literal translation is guna karma. Works under the gunas, under the material influence. And there is a difference, Krishna says. And that difference is from, I think, what he said before. Because we did a very important verse the other day, which is a verse that you should know by heart. Prakriti kriyamanani gunakarmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That is text 27. It's a very kind of technical chapter. I mean, most of the chapters are very technical. It's very philosophical, Bhagavad Gita. I recapped it many times already, but I will try and do it very shortly today because it's nice to go to the purports actually. It's a discussion between Krishna and Arjuna, and Arjuna was confused about should I now renounce work or should I just do my duty, work. And so Krishna is explaining that in this chapter. And like I pointed out, that it's not so clear as far as I'm concerned from the Sanskrit what Krishna exactly means. I said it many times, this is also called Gita Upanishad. And I don't know if any of you any read the Upanishads, but Upanishads, they are like very concise. Means it's like sometimes they call it the headlines of the Vedas. If you read a headline in a newspaper, you can't really figure out what it's about. You have some idea, but if you really want to know what it's about, you need to read the article. So it's the same with the Upanishads, and the Bhagavad Gita is no exception, that the verses are a little bit cryptical sometimes. That's why sometimes the so-called Mayavadis, Vad means, again, this knowledge, and Maya means that's which is not. Because ultimately everything is Krishna's energy. And the main crux of the Mayavadis, where we disagree, is that they say that when Krishna appeared, that his body is also part of the material energy. So we have the information from Lord Brahma that Satchit Ananda Vigra, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna is the Paramishvara, he is the highest controller, there is nothing above Krishna, Lord Brahma says. Anadir Adir Govinda, he is no cause and he is the cause. He is Anadir and he is the Adir, he is the origin. And so his body, Vigraha, his form is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of bliss and full of knowledge. So his body is spiritual, our body is material. This is like a machine, blood, flesh, it's like a robot, very intricate machine. So the Mayavadi said that when Krishna came to earth...
That is too small.
Yes.
We can put it here. So the Mayavadis, they say that Krishna's body is also made of the material energy. And this is, we say actually this is very offensive. Like if you, like my father just, he left his body last year. So if somebody says to me, your father didn't exist, then I get maybe a little bit upset. And it's not nice to say that, you know. Well, who do you mean your father? That was just a dream, you know. So it's a little bit the same with Krishna. Krishna was here, did so many things. He lifted up Govardhan Hill. And then if you say that, no, he was just a very, you know, special man, but just a material man. That is not a very nice thing to do. So the Mayavadis, they have a different understanding of the absolute truth. It's also mentioned in the purport, later on, about Rameti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Sabjate. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, that there is three ways how to see the absolute truth. Brahman, which means the impersonal feature. I just explained it more or less, because that is what the Mayavadis believe in, that everything is just energy, and that we are part of that energy, but now we are covered by illusion, and if we just figure it out, then we can become part of that energy. In other words, we can become God. This, of course, not possible. That Brahman is actually light effulgence coming from Krishna's body. And that's why Prabhupada refers to it as spiritual suicide. Because the perfect yogi, Mayavadi, he can meditate. And then what happens is that ultimately he can go to the spiritual world, but he loses his body and everything. And he just... The soul is one tiny speck of energy, and so he just becomes dead. Everything is, killed in one sense. So, and then it's just like a bzzz, you know, this is how Parvita explained it to me. Just bzzz, you're just there in the spiritual world. You are sat, eternal, you have chit, you have so much knowledge, but you don't really have the ananda, the ras, the bliss, which is coming from relationships. And then you have Paramatma, so that is Brahman, realization. But like I said, the Mayavadis, they're a little bit confused about that. Then you have Paramatma, this means that there's a localized aspect of God. This is the secondary God realization, that God is in every atom, He's in our heart, He's in everybody's heart. And then ultimately is Bhagavan, that Krishna, He's a person who can appear in the deity. The deity is actually Krishna, and that He is in the spiritual world. And Brahma explains, not only is He in the spiritual world, but He's traveling around all the different universes. And 5,000 years ago, He appeared in India. So Krishna, he can split Himself up into another Krishna. It's a different body, but it's the same person. So we can't really do that. Prabhupada explains that the yogis, they can do up to 9 times. But Prabhupada explains it's more like television. It's not really the same person. It's like a sort of a mystical power they have. But when Krishna does it, it's actually another person. At the same time, very difficult to understand for us, it's the same person. So that is the ultimate realization in God consciousness. The knower of the absolute, so I'll read a little bit from the purport. Now let me just get back to that. I want you to a little bit study how Prabhupada translated, because I was explaining about Upanishads, that this is also called Gita Upanishad. And that is very difficult to understand. It is like very concise. And if you don't read Srila Prabhupada's purports, like I used to have a Bhagavad Gita from, I think it was Aldous Huxley, you can't really figure it out what Krishna means. Because it's spoken like that. That's what I was saying, because I kind of lost my track. Is that many Mayavadis, they commented on Bhagavad Gita. Many, many sects. There's about, just in English, I think 200 different versions or maybe even more.
I read one time
600 650,
yeah,
now, yeah. So 650, there are different versions of Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada says, you know, like for instance, you have the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetra Guru Kshetra Samaveta Yutsava Mamaka Pandavas Cheva Kim Akurvata Sanya Dhritarashtra Vacha. He's saying this, King Dhritarashtra, he's asking his servant Sanjaya, what did my sons and the sons of Pandu do when they assembled on the Guru Kshetra, on the Dharma Kshetra, Guru Kshetra, on the religious place called Guru Kshetra. And then there's many interpretations from different so-called Mayavadis, and they say, yeah, the body, the soul is Krishna, and Arjuna is the body. And Prabhupada says, why you need to make interpretation? There's a train station, it's called Guru Kshetra. There's a city. You know, everybody knows that there was a battle there 5,000 years ago. It's real. This is history. It's not Krishna is the soul. And Arjuna. Why have to make interpretation? Prabhupada says, this is Krishna's book. You know, we get this book through Parampara. You can read it in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna also explains it in the fourth chapter. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rayacharyo Rishihi Imam Rayacharyo Vidu. That the Raja Rishis, they, again this word, vidu, tatva vid, vidu, they received this knowledge through the parampara, through the disciplic succession. So that's also what Prabhupada says, this Bhagavad Gita is not for the layman, it's not for the common man, it's for the Raja Rishi, the saintly kings. So you should consider yourself very fortunate to be able to read Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada explains why you have to spoil Bhagavad Gita. Why take your own book, write your own book, but don't take Bhagavad Gita and start spoiling it. So that is what the Mayavadis are doing. And I'm just trying to explain that Bhagavad Gita, because everybody, not everybody, but many people in India, they know these slokas. You go into a train, And like I'm in this clot, so usually they immediately start to ask questions, and they say, "Oh yes, I know everything. I know Bhagavad Gita," and they start to quote slokas. But then you ask them, "What does it really mean?" And then they give a different meaning. So therefore, I want you also, because ultimately we also want to share this knowledge with other people. So therefore, I want you to also know the Sanskrit. It's for preaching purposes. It's also good for yourself, because we also have to preach to ourselves, because sometimes we might have doubts. But especially for others, you know. So from the Sanskrit, it's difficult to see what Krishna means. But Prabhupada, he knows. Because also, when Prabhupada wrote these purports, he took advice from other purports already written by acharyas. Specifically, Baladev Vijayabhushana, which he thanked in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to him. He's one of the acharyas. Yeah, there's no time now to explain that to you, but you can look it up, Baladev Vijayabhushana. I also work for a website, Vinipedia. We have a page there. You can go to some encyclopedia and look it up. So the purports that Prabhupada writes, they are in line with what other acharyas have said. So this Vibhagashaha, it means divided, differences. In the translation, Prabhupada says, knowing well the difference between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. So Krishna only really speaks about the fruitive results, guna karma, you see. But it is understood that because he says vibhagasha, a difference between what? That's what is being discussed in the whole chapter, difference between buddhi yoga and karma yoga. That's why this chapter is called karma yoga. It's action, yoga in action. Action or yoga means to connect with God, and karma means action or work. So you work and then you offer the results to Krishna. That's what Krishna is explaining here. It's a very difficult book actually. In one sense, it's also very simple. In another sense, in the conclusion, is very simple. You just surrender to Krishna or to his representative, and you can just follow that. But Prabhupada says, we don't really want the devotees to follow blindly. So it's better if you understand. But if you follow blindly, this result will ultimately be the same. But like I said, we also want to preach. And if you want to preach, then if you follow blindly, you can't explain it. You can reach the perfection. Well, you could explain it to some extent. You can repeat it again. But then if somebody asks questions, then it's going to be difficult for you. At the same time, sometimes Prabhupada also explained things to people and then explained it another time. Like the same thing, he wouldn't change his example, like Krishna says in the second chapter, Kamaram Jovanam Jara, Tata Dehantara Prapti, that is about reincarnation. You already incarnate, in Krishna says, from kid, Kamaram, to Jovanam, youth, to Jara, to old person. So Prabhupada is explaining that to people. Look, you were a different body when you were a child. Now, like for instance, if I take my example, I had a different voice, different teeth, different hair. You know, hair is coming out of my ears now, out of my nose, out of my armpits. Different body, everything different. And then when I get old, gray hair, maybe no more teeth, you know, no more hair maybe even. So many differences are there. So different bodies, you're already reincarnating, because Prabhupada explains, if the soul goes out of the body, that's when it stops. You've got so many big hospitals, and some person, he is like completely half dead, and they revive him. And another person, just some small thing happened, and he or she just, it's gone. And they're trying to revive it, but the soul is gone, and they cannot save the person. Because it's the soul is the factor. So Prabhupada, Krishna explains that you're already reincarnating, and when the body stops, then again you will get another body. So Prabhupada would just explain it one time, two times, three times. And then if the person didn't understand it, then he said, just give them prasadam. So that is our secret weapon. Even if you don't know so much philosophy, you can just ask people, just chant Hare Krishna and just eat prasadam. Like we have our acharyas, like for instance, Gorgi Sardas Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. He was very scholarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a high court judge or a magistrate in India. And his son was very scholarly. But the guru of his son, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he, you know, he was just sitting in the forest, no clothes. He was just chanting 100,000 names, like 175 rounds every day. He was barely not eating. He would just eat dry rice, or sometimes he would just eat mud. But he was completely realized because of the chanting. Krishna explains in the 10th chapter, the Dhami Buddhi Yogam Tam, that he will give intelligence from within. So if you just ask people to just chant Hare Krishna and eat prasadam, they will get purified. Abhinatvam, Nama Abhinatvam, the holy name is not different from Krishna. The name is the same as the person. This is the absolute nature of God. So even if you don't know so much philosophy, still you can preach. You can just ask him to chant and take prasadam. And for some people, that's all they can do, at least in the beginning. And there's nothing wrong with it. So again, vibhaga yaho. So pay attention. That's the differences. There, guna and karma, there's a difference between senses and sense gratification. So one who is in knowledge of the absolute truth, the tattva-vid, does not engage himself in senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitless results. Purport. The knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. So I was just saying the other day, material life is actually one big embarrassment. It's just a matter of degree. Like, you know, I prefer not to get married because actually you increase the embarrassment. Like sometimes people would say to Prabhupada, like some live member, here are my children, you know, and he would introduce every child. And then Prabhupada, he would say to his disciples, he said, look, here's my sex life. Because that's all it is ultimately. And especially family life, it can become very embarrassing. Like sometimes the child, he poops his pants and you need to clean it. You can't wait 3 hours. You need to go somewhere and take off the poop and clean the child. And some other get new diapers. You need to ask somebody, or it's embarrassing. So, you know, and then also that's another reason there's not so much scope for spiritual life, because if you have to change poop diapers the whole day, then you know you don't have so much time to read Bhagavad Gita. But at the same time, it's also good to do. But it is a little bit embarrassing, and everything is embarrassing. Like I have this material body, it's embarrassing, because in the spiritual world, we have this spiritual body, and it's perfect. And first of all, because Prabhupada many times says that this body, it's so well made, it looks real, but it's blood. There's stool inside, pus, bones. It's really not very nice. Like if I would die now, then you would have a problem. You know, you have to get rid of the body. You know, it's going to be messy. So, but it should. It's like so well constructed that we think that this is us. You know, but that is also because we are used to that. That's why we cry when somebody leaves the body. We're like, the body is there, we're crying, oh, where is my father? Because we're not used to that. On eternity, we're not used, because in eternal life, in eternal world, nobody ever dies. That is our normal life. And this is our temporary life. This is just like I want to say a holiday, but it's more like a nightmare, actually. Mm-hmm. And so we need to get out. That is what Prabhupada says. He knows that he's part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. So that is the tattva vid. He knows he shouldn't be here. Prabhupada says, you have a problem. We all have a problem. We are going to get old. We all get sick now and then. There's practically nobody that doesn't get sick. And everybody dies. Even if some person never gets sick, he will die. And then you get born again. So that is the problem, and that will not go away. So you need to find the solution for the problem. And the only solution, you know, you should know, is Krishna consciousness. Meaning, being conscious of Krishna. That's why it's important to also read this Krishna book. Oh, there's a thingy here somewhere. I dropped it. Oh, here it is. Yeah, it's a little bit broke. But just keep it together, maybe we can fix it. Yeah, so now it gets interesting. He knows his real identity is part and parcel of the Supreme, which eternal bliss and knowledge. So I already explained that. Sat-chit ananda vigra. And he realizes that somehow or other he's entrapped in the material conception of life. Yeah, this is just, Prabhupada said that I didn't write these purports. Just see the English. Prabhupada doesn't say that we are in the material world. Prabhupada says he is trapped in the material conception of life. That's the problem. It's not that we are in the material world, because there is really no material world. The problem is there is a material conception. Like, for instance, in the Second World War, I am German, you are Jewish, I am good, you are bad. This is material conception. And we all know where it led to. It was a disaster. It became a horrible, horrible part of our history. So this is all material conception. So that leads to complete disaster. So, but that's what it all is. It's a conception. It's an idea. It's a material idea that this person has one body and is different from my body. On the spiritual level, that is not there. That is not there. Of course, we have some cultural things. We need them. But ultimately, if you are on the spiritual platform, you don't consider that. In his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So this is just the profoundness of Bhagavad Gita and of Krishna consciousness, is that what we are doing here now is what we are supposed to do, is what we have always done, and, well, not always, otherwise we wouldn't be here, but what we have been doing for eternity. Now this is like a short nightmare, and what we will be doing in the spiritual world, the same activities. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. You could say he's also Radharani, because again, in the spiritual world, the mood is the same as the person. So he's actually Krishna, but he's also Radharani, because he's in the mood of Radharani. So he's saying that I don't want to get liberation. I just want to serve. Because it doesn't matter if you serve in the so-called material world. Because like I said, there's really no material world. Because everything is Krishna's energy. And the material world is just a cloud in the spiritual world. And like I said, the Paramatma is in every atom. In every atom, there is the Super Soul. But this is, it's not so easy to realize it. And it's ultimately, I mean, like I said in the beginning, you can just surrender to Krishna now. You can go to Gopinath and say, now I will surrender to you. But it's not, like Prabhupada says in the Hare Krishna mantra lecture, this is not, what is it?
This is not an artificial imposition.
Yeah, this is not an artificial imposition of the mind, this chanting. And similarly, you cannot just go and say, artificially impose on the mind, I'm going to surrender. The surrender has to actually take place. And Prabhupada actually says, this may be a little bit heavy, maybe I shouldn't say it in the class, but it's a small class, I'll say it anyway. If you don't take initiation from a spiritual master, then you're not really humble. So you can say, I'm surrendered, but the surrender actually has to be factual. Like I many times give the example of when you're married, and then the wife says, could you please put out the garbage? And you say, no, I love you so much and I think you're so beautiful. I just want to look at your beautiful face. She's not going to be very happy with you. That's not love. That's just selfishness. You want to enjoy the beautiful face of your wife. But she's asking you, please just put out the garbage. So that is love. Yes, of course, I'll put out the garbage. That is love. That is service. So, you know, that Krishna wants to see that. That we actually, you know, surrender to his representative and that we serve him. And like I said, ultimately, I mean, that is possible to really do that. You can do it very quickly, but generally we see that it takes time. Like I was just reading today that Bhaktisiddhanta and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were also actually, they were chanting also, they were chanting more actually, they were chanting the same as Haridas Thakur, they were chanting 300,000 names a day, 175 rounds. Because one leg is approximately 64, it's a little less. One leg means 100,000 names, it's 64 rounds. So they were chanting about 175 rounds a day, and they were doing that for 10 years. So they were chanting, they wanted to chant 1 billion names. Means like, you know, like I said, 10 years chanting 175 rounds a day. So it is important to become purified. Even these big acharyas, they're showing us the example. Of course, we cannot imitate that, but it just gives an idea how serious we have to become. I mean, we can chant more than 60, we can chant 80 or 70. Or Prabhupada used to advise, if you don't have anything to do on Ekadasi, which is coming up... Third. Which day? Friday? Friday. Yeah, Friday Ekadasi is coming up. And then if you have not so many things to do, then it's advised to chant 25 rounds to increase the chanting and the reading. It was a very special day. So I'm just giving you that information so you can understand, you know, how serious these acharyas are and how serious we have to become. It's not so easy. I mean, you try and talk to Obama. I mean, anybody in this room, probably will not happen. You know? Even if we dedicate our whole life, we're probably not going to see Obama. At least not when he's president. Maybe, you know, if we like do something really special. That's what we're up against, more or less. I mean, this is Krishna. He's much more special than Obama. So, you know, we want to talk to Krishna. We're going to become Krishna's friend. So, you know, we have to qualify ourselves. Sorry. But at the same time, Krishna's in our heart also. So it's a gradual process. And that's the funny thing with Krishna. He is there holding your hand every step of the way. But to actually meet him, that is a tall order. That is another thing. But at the same time, you can feel him in your life. I cannot say it with 100% certainty because I want to be careful, because sometimes it's the mind, you know, and it's not Krishna. But some things in my life I can really say that this is called faith. You know, that I believe that Krishna is actually helping me in my life. And Krishna is unlimited. Huh? So he can help you with everything. Ironing your clothes, going to the shower, it doesn't matter. You can all the time think of Krishna and ask Krishna to help you. Of course, ultimately, we are praying, Krishna, how can I help you? But at the same time, you know, we're just reading. We're part and parcel. That means we're very, very tiny. So if you want to be humble, we were just discussing it the other day, Prabhupada was saying you have to realize that you're very, very small and you can't do anything. You really can't do anything. That's what we're reading yesterday or the other day. Gunakarma vibhakasya ahankara vimudatma. That it's done by the modes of material nature. We're not really doing this. Like I said, this is a machine. We're just desiring. There's two choices. Either desiring to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. This is the meaning of Maya. Not serving Krishna. That's the only choice we have. But we have that choice. And every minute, that's what I'm saying, you can surrender any second. We can make that choice. Shall I eat another sandwich or shall I chant an extra round? We can make the choice any second. Usually we'll take the sandwich, at least I do. So then you know what is your level. Shall I read a little bit more Bhagavad Gita or Shall I serve Mahaprabhu and stop? Shall I enjoy the voice of the sound of my own voice, or shall I listen to Manu's beautiful singing? I think I can stop there. There's a little more in the purport, but I think we touched upon the most important things. And especially I like to share that last. I just like to stress that last point, that in order to be humble, you have to realize that you can't really do anything. And you all the time pray to Krishna, that you know, like a child. Child is always humble because she's dependent on the mother. So like that, we should be dependent on our mother, Radharani. And then we can be humble. And then we can understand that we can't do anything. And it's called lording over material nature. That we want to force things. We have that, at least I have that tendency always. Like I used to do yoga. And my teacher, he always said, you love to force things. And in yoga also, it's not possible to force things. But not yoga, I should not go to yoga, but stretching. So we should learn to do what Krishna wants us to do. And it's a science. Okay. So, there's a question from you.
You were talking about deep perceptions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was speaking about embarrassment because that was Prabhupada was saying here, you know. It's just, it's an awkward position. You're in an awkward position.
Yeah, that's
a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's a good point. Thank you.
Especially if you start making a higher level, which you push up ice, we are equal. Whatever service we do, or whatever help we do, it's our consciousness that Krishna considers. No? So if we are cleaning our children's diapers and loving Krishna at the same time, I think Krishna will think we are in an awkward position.
Thank you.
So it's not so awkward.
Okay. Yeah. Now it's the consciousness, right? Yeah, that's a good point.
So especially for Ramchari, you've now been through the
Well, I mean, you don't have to put your hand in the fire to know it's hot.
Yeah,
I don't think that's all.
Ramchari
light
is pretty hot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I think. Yeah, it's a good
point. Anyway, I mean, that's a good point. It's ultimately the consciousness, which is the awkward position.
That
yeah.
In your lecture,
yeah.
It's a
non material concept.
It's a position.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, ultimately.
I mean, thank you.
But it's ultimately, you know, the point is we don't belong here. You know. There's no poop divers in the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the point. Everything is embarrassing. It's just a matter of degrees. But it's a very important point that it's ultimately that what was Prabhupada was saying. I'm not so realized yet. Is that it's the conception, because ultimately it's. Yeah, like she's pointing out, it's not really awkward if you have the proper consciousness. So that was what she was pointing out. If you understand that this child is given to me by Krishna, and I have to serve it as good as possible, then it becomes actually not embarrassing. It becomes like you said, becomes service to Krishna. So yeah, we have to be careful with these kind of statements. Sorry.
Perhaps more than embarrassing, when you were speaking and you used the word embarrassment, I thought perhaps the wrong word would be too much work. Sometimes attending a child, being in a married life, having a business and so on, it demands too much work. So
yeah.
It's a pressure that sometimes would take it away from things that could give you real satisfaction. So when you used the word embarrassment, I thought immediately my mind said, no, I understand what he's saying, because personally it took me so long to get married with the forever boyfriend I had. It took me so long to have a child after having been in a relationship so long. Precisely because I shared that feeling of too much work that I didn't want to impose on myself. Even before I knew any of these brahmacharya or Krishna functions or devotion or service or anything, it was like a protection. But coming back to your lecture, I have three little questions, and excuse me if they're a bit basic, but in the process. Firstly, when you talked about this conception of material reality, I think you used something like that, the construction of materiality as a concept, something like that, I don't remember the exact phrase. This is not the material world, it's a conception of material construction in which we operate.
Yeah.
But we created it. It's not like...
No, but that's what she was pointing out. The material world is there. It's real.
I couldn't hear what she said.
Well, she was saying it's not embarrassing if your consciousness is proper. Yeah, if you have the proper consciousness, then it becomes spiritual.
But what I want to come to is at the source of this construction. Where did this construction emerge from? It's like we were born with this body, and at the same time we were given this frame of mind in which we perceive a reality that by inertia we begin to take it as our own, to a point that we think that the body, the materiality, and so on, we're like this massive block. So what I'm saying is, the source of it is beyond our will. It's like...
Well, I think you're overthinking it. The way Prabhupada explains it is that you have the spiritual world, and then you have the material world. And the material world is like a prison house. So it's not that the government wants to have prisoners, but they're there, and you need to make the prison house in order to lock them up. So that's what we are. We are criminals. We didn't want to serve Krishna, and he had to create the material world for us. So, and gradually we have degraded ourselves, and now we are upgrading ourselves, also gradually. Is that all right?
No. I just think that this is God's construction.
God made it, but God made it, but he had to make it because of our illegal desire.
Because of our necessity.
Well, you can call it necessity, but you can't really say that a criminal has to steal. It doesn't need to steal. Anybody can work. If the government is good, then anybody can work. There's no real necessity to come here.
So why are we here?
Because we were confused. We made some mistake. And anybody can make a mistake. You see, that is the nature of the soul. The soul can make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Well, we can make mistakes. Like I just made a mistake and she corrected me. Anyway, we have to stop here because I'm already very long of time. We can discuss more, but not now.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for Hare Krishna, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.